From Radio Sausalito in beautiful Sausalito, California, I'm Mitchell Field, and you are on the field trip. Welcome to The Field Trip, a few minutes of conversation each week with some of the most interesting people in the Bay Area and Marin County. I talk to artists and writers, actors, directors, musicians, some of the people who make the Bay Area a fun and a fabulous place to live. So let's get right to it. Well, what would you do if Homeland Security suddenly came to you and told you that your neighbors and best friends were in fact spies for a foreign power who were plotting to overthrow your country? That's the premise of a wonderful play called Pack of Lies by British playwright Hugh Whitemore, and it's based on real-life events which took place in Britain in the 1960s and was known as the Portland Spying Case. Hugh Whitemore's classic play is a fictional account of the relationship between Peter and Helen Kroger, an American couple living in a London suburb and suspected of spying for the Russians, and their well-meaning friends, the Jackson family. The action centers on the quietly respectable and unsuspecting Jacksons, who live opposite the Krogers and consider them their closest friends. And when an MI5 official arrives and coerces the Jacksons into allowing their house to be used for surveillance of the Krogers, the Jacksons have to face the possible truth about their much-loved and trusted friends. Well, Pack of Lies is currently playing at the Ross Valley Players Barn Theater in Ross, California. And my guest on today's field trip is one of the stars of the show, well-known Bay Area actress, Marianne Rogers. Welcome, Marianne.
Hi, Mitchell. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Well, first of all, let me congratulate you on a terrific performance in the show.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a lot of fun.
I know you've been getting some good reviews and some good audiences.
We have been in a nice variety of people. We have Ross Valley Players has such a nice history, and its wonderful subscribers always turn out. But we're seeing people who don't often come because it's a show that's a little bit different and not rare, not often done. So it's nice to see the kinds of people who are turning out for it.
Yeah, we saw you there recently in To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah, with Steve Price, who's also in Pack of Lies.
Yeah, a little bit different, but still a great show.
But I love Ross Valley Players. I really think it's one of the county's treasures.
So let me ask you first off about this character, the fun-loving, gregarious, but secretly evil spy, Helen Kroger. Tell me a bit about Helen.
Well, secretly evil, Mitchell. I don't know. She may be misguided, but I don't know that she's secretly evil. Helen is a strong personality, and she's a doer, and she actually really was a very active spy in the United States and in London until she was caught. She and her husband were caught. I think she and Peter Kroger were both idealists, and I think they both had the ability to compartmentalize really well, which I think is the interesting part about the play. I think Helen's connection to Barbara is very real, and her love and affection for her is very real. And what she was doing in her off hours, she was her job. It's not something we all can do, but certainly we all know people who can function in two worlds pretty well. I also think that the play and the character deals with factual truth and emotional truth, and how they can exist and in contrast simultaneously. So I've had a lot of fun playing her. She's not much like my everyday self. I'm probably more like Barbara than Helen, so playing her has been very liberating, very freeing.
Yeah, she's a very liberated individual.
She sure is. In the FBI files that we looked at on the Krogers, on the Coens, which is what their real names were, in the 40s, when they started keeping records of them, the FBI described her as wearing pants consistently, And the adjective they used to describe, which I think was also a value judgment, was she incessantly wore pants.
That's suspicious right there.
Right there. But, I from what I understand, they loved to entertain, and she was a good time. She was a lot of fun.
Yeah, you play her that way. So tell me a bit about the research that you did for the show.
Well, I don't know what actors did before we could punch something into Google or Bing and just have loads of information pop up, which is where I always, which is where I started. I typed in Helen Kroger and there found their FBI files online and found a PBS article on them, found a site on Ryslett, the town where it's located, where there's commentary from the townspeople on what they remember about the Krogers and the Portland spy ring case. What else did we find? An interview a translated interview that was done in the Soviet Union at the end of their lives, one of Peter and one of Helen, where Helen was still beating up on Peter, and she was in her 90s. Incredible stuff for an actor.
Well, now, these people were actually Americans posing in London as Canadians, right?
That's right. That's exactly right.
There's a very funny line where Mrs. Jackson is explaining to somebody that although they're Canadians, they're still very nice people. That got a good laugh.
Yeah, the Jacksons are in such a small community, and they're used to such a small world. I think there's another line where they talk about the first time Helen and Peter came to their door and that they were shocked by them. And we spent some time talking about, well, was it because of their accent? Was it because they were dressed very casually and Helen was in her pants? What was it that made them so exotic to this community? And yet they were there for 5 years and were able to become very accepted and very respected members of that same community. So.
They did. It's interesting that Ryslip, I grew up in London, and Ryslip is the site of the large U.S. Air Force base where thousands of American troops were posted after the war and into the 60s and 70s, I believe.
Oh, that's fascinating. I didn't know that. I do know that Bob Jackson, his character, does work for an air base mm-hmm. or an engineering company that manufactures flight parts. It's funny. Helen would know. Marianne's a little vague on
right
now.
It's interesting that although this play was written in the 1980s, there seems to be a lot of interest in spies and the Cold War right now. In fact, HBO is just about to premiere a new series about Soviet moles in America called The Americans. You know about that?
No, I didn't know about that, but last week I heard a story that a spy had just been arrested in Switzerland and that he'd been there for 20 years working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it does seem like all of a sudden there is a lot coming up about espionage.
There's a great British TV series called Sleepers. It was from the 90s, and it's about two Russian moles who were sent to Britain, and then they're horrified when they're 25 years later they're activated and they've grown to love England. they don't want anything to do with it. It's a great show.
Oh, I'm going to have to see that. I wonder if I can.
Sleepers. I think Netflix has it.
Oh, good. I'll look for it.
It's the wonderful Nigel Havers in one of the roles. So tell me about any tricks that the director had you work with when you were rehearsing for this show.
Well, Molly Noble, she's a wealth of information, and she's very careful about trying to get to the truth of character when we go through process. So it was a real pleasure to work with her and focus on more than the logistics. And, cross here, sit here, say the line here. She started with taking us very slowly through the play and then asked us to do some homework. Now, one of the exercises she had us do was something called compositions. And the rules were that we had to bring in three objects and a piece of music that somehow spoke to us about our characters. And that was all; those were all the guidelines she gave us. So we all came in with very, very different things. I, for Helen, for music, just immediately went to Mack the Knife. And I really liked both versions, so I brought in music from the original Broadway show of Threepenny Opera, and then I brought in,
Bobby Darin.
The Bobby Darin, thank you. The Bobby Darin version, because I feel like Helen's roots were very Brechtian, but her manifestation was cutting edge, was, you know, she would have loved the Bobby Darin version of Mack the Knife.
She was a hipster, too.
Yes, yeah, very much. And then what else did I bring in? I brought in some Sophie Tucker jokes just to try out,
yeah,
you know, because I thought that kind of fit her.
Yeah.
And then I brought in Emma Lazarus' poem, The Bring Me Your Tired, Your Poor.
Sure.
And I felt like all of that kind of played into where I eventually found Helen and myself, that she, I think both Peter and Helen really believed in American ideas and just felt that that they weren't being realized the way they should. And I know, and this I don't conjecture, this is not my conjecture, I know that they felt that if there were a balance of power in terms of nuclear power, that the world would actually be a safer place. That it would be more dangerous if only one country held that power.
Yeah. So they were involved with getting, at the time, British submarine, nuclear submarine secrets and giving them to the Russians, right?
That's right. They were. And Helen and Peter were also involved here in the United States with the Manhattan Project.
Ah, I didn't know that. Interesting.
She was serious business. You know, they weren't minor characters in this. They were actually pretty involved.
Right. Well, they come off as very relaxed, lighthearted Americans, completely the opposite of the Jackson family, who are their friends and neighbors, who are the sort of uptight, buttoned-down English types who are always saying, sorry, sorry, sorry.
Yeah.
And the contrast is wonderful.
Yeah, I'm always telling Barbara not to worry.
Yes.
And I think, again, this is not like me, I think that Helen is able to do her job, go into alert mode if it looks like something is not right, but when she's visiting with Barbara, she's visiting with Barbara, and she's perfectly content and safe and happy. Her makeup is just profoundly different from Barbara Jackson's makeup. Tina Taylor, who plays Barbara Jackson, was telling us her family stories about, you know, her grandmother's house had a direct hit in World War II. The family ended up staying in a house with no roof for several months. And, you know, just really vivid memories.
Well, you really seem to be having fun in the show.
I'm loving it. I do think the play asks a lot of questions and doesn't answer them, which is sort of the best drama, right, where you're not told what to think.
Well, Pack of Lies is directed by Molly Noble. It's running through February 17 at the Ross Valley Players Barn Theater in Ross, California. For more information, you can go to rossvalleyplayers.com. And Marianne Rogers, continued success to you and to the Ross Valley Players.
Oh, thank you so much, Mitchell.
Hey.
This has been a lot of fun.
Thanks for taking us on a field trip today. That's Marianne Rogers, everyone. Well, thanks for joining me today on The Field Trip. I welcome your views and comments on the show, as well as your suggestions for future guests. My email address is mitchellfield@radiosausalito.org. The theme music you hear behind me is the tune Superjet, with the fabulous Marin sax man Noel Jukes up front. It's from the recording The Noel Jukes Quartet, featuring Matt Clark. Please remember that The Field Trip can be heard Wednesdays at the top of every hour at 1610 on your AM radio dial in Southern Marin, countywide on Wednesdays at noon on Comcast Cable Channel 26, on your computer at radiosausalito.org anytime, or 24 hours a day as a free podcast from the iTunes Store. If you liked today's show, please tell your friends, and if you didn't, well, please tell your enemies. So till next time, this is Mitchell Field saying goodbye, good luck, and see you then.